ஓம ஜானதிரந்தஸ்ய ஜானஞ்சன சுலாகய சக்ஷுர்மீலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ.
ஸ்ரீல மாத்வாச்சார்ய has been quoted in this report discussing the difference between the soul and the body. Actually, although it's not given in the translation here, but in the Sanskrit, original Sanskrit, we can see that it's also said that in Lord Vishnu there's no difference between the soul and the body. So Madhvacharya, he was preaching difference, this very important point on which the whole world is confused, that there's difference. Madhvacharya, he distinguished five kinds of difference. That means between, first thing, the main point of this verse, jiva and jada. Between the living being and material nature, there is a difference. The living being and the body through which it presently expresses itself, or between any other material object or from material nature in general, the spirit soul is different. Then, jiva and jiva, there is difference between every jiva. There is one song by the Beatles, those are from the Western countries have heard of the Beatles. They say that I am me and you are we and we are all together. Nonsense. Doesn't make any sense. That I am not you. If you feel hungry, doesn't mean I'm hungry. Or if we both feel hungry and you eat, doesn't mean that I become satisfied. These very simple points. So there's difference between jiva and jada, jiva and jiva, jiva and Ishvara. There is the Supreme Lord. He is also jiva. You see the name Jiva Goswami. Why is he called Jiva Goswami? Because jiva is a name of Lord Vishnu. That's also a name of Lord Vishnu. It means a living being. So that's also one of the qualities of Lord Vishnu. He's a living being. But he's not a living being like you or me. He is the Supreme Living Being, therefore he is called the Ishvara. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahu Vidhan Vidhati Kama Eko Bahunam Vidhati Kama. We are living and the Supreme Lord is also living, but he is the controller who is supplying the needs and fulfilling the desires of all other living beings. There's difference. Madhvacharya is pointing out the difference. There's difference between Ishvara and Jada. Between the material nature and the Supreme Lord. The material nature is controlled and produced by the Supreme Lord. And there's difference between jada and dada, means between one material object and another. This Mayavad philosophy, their idea, is that everything is one. There is no difference between anything. Ultimately, everything is all the same. Which is the most ludicrous philosophy. They think that when one becomes spiritually realized, he understands that everything is all the same. There's no difference between anything. Everything is all the same. And they have very big, long words. You see, they're talking big, long words and big philosophical dissertations and lots of words in Sanskrit. But if you take away all the big, long words and all the Sanskrit and see what is their actual theory, that everything is all the same, it's actually nonsense. Just like, for instance, we were in a village recently, and there was one man, he was trying to support this idea that everything is all the same. So, I said to him, then a fan is the same as an umbrella? It's a very clear thing. A fan is one thing, and an umbrella is something else. Stool and food is the same? You would like to eat stool? Then you save money, you don't have to buy food. Simply, you pass, you take, you eat again. You pass, you eat, you pass, you eat. If it's all the same, all one. Or eating and not eating, don't even bother eating. Because eat or not eat, it's all the same. So even a child can understand. If a child, he may do something foolish. But if an elder person, he does something foolish, then you call him insane. Just like if a child runs here and there crying and passing stool in the road. And young child, that's a child. But if an old man, a grown-up person, 20 years old, someone looks at him the wrong way, and he immediately starts crying. And then he passes stool in the middle of the road. They'll take him to the madhouse. So the same thing, a child, he may not be able to understand that so much philosophy. He may think everything is all the same. That's why you see a child, he may take something and use it for the wrong purpose. He'll take a book and chew it. The book is not meant for chewing, but because he's a child, he doesn't know the difference, doesn't know the function of one thing and another. He'll take some valuable, maybe a tape recorder or something like this, and just for fun, he'll smash it. Because he's a child, he doesn't know the difference between one thing and another. Or he'll drink some bleach, thinking, this is something nice to drink. Or he'll see some yellow, bright yellow pills, and think, this looks like some nice sweets. And then he vomits, and you have to call the doctor. So if a child, he doesn't distinguish between one thing and another, you think he's a child. If an older person doesn't distinguish, then you think he's insane. So this Mayavad philosophy that everything is all the same is actually madness. By which people lose their power of discrimination. They think they become very intelligent, but actually by losing their power of discrimination, they become foolish. This verse, please don't lean on Bhagavatam. Even though it's Gita Press Bhagavatam, still it's the shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this shlok, this section, is dealing between the difference between the soul and the body. We should distinguish between the soul and the body. And we'll find this theme is repeated throughout the scriptures. We may think, well, this is very basic knowledge. Actually, this is very elevated knowledge. This is the beginning of spiritual life. And most people, they don't have even entrance into spiritual life. Even in India, we see there are so many gurus and so many so-called avatars, and they're writing books also. But their followers don't even know the basic, they don't even teach the most basic point that you are not this body. They don't care to teach it. They probably don't even know it themselves. Most of these so-called gurus, even if they're teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, but they'll only speak about some lila, they'll never speak any philosophy. Because if they speak philosophy, then no one will come, no one will be attracted. Then they won't become famous, and they won't get so much money, and then what's the point of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, then I think. But Srimad Bhagavatam is a book of philosophy. I remember many years ago, I was traveling on this BBT library party, so we visited one so-called scholar, and he said, oh, this Srimad Bhagavatam, just all stories, that's all. Means he'd never seen Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe it's stories, but look, what is in the story? Here we have the story of Prahlad Maharaj. What he learned in the womb. He learned, first thing, that he's not this body. He hadn't even got his body properly. The body was still being formed in the womb. But he learned that you're not that body. First thing, so much philosophy. This philosophy, you take one line of Prabhupada's books, and you take all the other books in the world, all this, so many bogus gurus are writing things, and what to speak of, what's taught in the schools and colleges. There's more knowledge, real knowledge, in these books. This one purport, if people could understand, then their whole life would change. Because they're thinking that this body is eternal. They're thinking, even though they know that one day this body may drop down dead, but they don't consider, being covered by Maya, they don't consider that I have to die. Then what will happen after that? They don't take it very seriously because of foolishness. Therefore, Prabhupada, we see, Prabhupada and what is in Shastra, again and again and again, repeating this point, we are not this body. When we give a class on we are not this body, mostly devotees, they start looking at their fingernails. Somehow their fingernails become very interesting. You're not your fingernail. You're not this body, and you're not your fingernail. So, there's no need to make a minute inspection of your fingernail. But because they find very dry, dull, boring, that we're not this. This proves that you need to listen. Because you're thinking, my fingernail is very interesting. I think my fingernails are the most beautiful fingernails in the whole of the creation. Such wonderful fingernails, even though they're dirty, and you didn't cut them or clean them for the last 3 years. But still you're thinking, what wonderful fingernails. Because no interest. That means we need to hear more. We think, let me just hear some nice stories how Krishna is playing with the gopis. But let us listen to this. Let us understand this. What is the basic philosophy? We don't understand. Therefore we have to hear again and again and again. I remember the last time I had the darshan of Srila Prabhupada in October 1977. Then he sat up on his bed. Means he didn't sit up. He had to be sat up. Because his body, because Prabhupada, he has, by being a pure devotee, he has all mystic powers. So immediately if he wanted, he could get up. But he was playing the leela. We say that is, when a pure devotee does this, he takes the part of an ordinary person, just like Prabhupada told when he was lying on his bed in the last 6 months. And don't think you won't have to undergo this, you will. So he was teaching how to prepare for death, even though he had no need to, personally, because Prabhupada didn't come to this world like an ordinary human being. But just to show us, he went through this. So he was sat up on his bed and he started preaching. What did he start preaching? You're not this body, control the mind and sense. You have to control the tongue, even though Prabhupada wasn't eating himself. But he's saying you have to control the tongue, senses. Teaching. What do we need to know? First thing we need to know, we are not this body. So we may think, well, we heard this before, did hear it before, now hear it again. And hear it again, and again, and again. Because we are attached to this body, and attachment to this body causes repeated birth and death. So how to become detached from this body? First thing we should understand, we are not this body. We are spirit soul, we are eternal servant of Krishna. This is the best news. We have daily newspaper, Gujarat Samachar, so many different newspapers. So here is the best news, you are not this body. We should put front page, you are not this body. Best news, good news. At last some good news, all the bad news. Actually bad news or good news, in this material world it's all nonsense anyway. Just like 1 month here in India, everyone was simply interested, what is the news of cricket? And now the cricket is finished. Next thing is election. This is life in India today. Cricket and election. Cricket and politics. This is all people are interested in. And when India win the game, jai ho. And when India lose the game, have a riot. So, this is Maya. We're not this cricket team. But we're thinking this is good news. If India wins a game, and if India loses a game, bad news. But it doesn't make any difference. Then you see, so many people die in some earthquake or plane crash. So that is considered very bad news. Actually, in one sense, it's neither good nor bad, because anyway they had to die. You can say, so many people died in an earthquake, disaster. But every day so many people are dying in the hospital of old age, what you call a natural death. How many people die every day? Who would know that? We have any sociologists, statisticians? Must be some hundreds, thousands, maybe many thousands of people die every day. Someone dies of a road accident. Someone dies of a heart attack. Someone dies of cancer. So many people are dying. So this is, if we put in the news, 100,000 people die. Everyone will buy the newspaper. Say, 100,000 people die. There was Mrs. Skaggart, age 83, died in her sleep. And then someone else, after long bout of cancer, died. And then someone else died from flu. Someone, if you put a list, you think, that's not news. They just died, that's all. They died. When they died in a plane crash, or anything, they died. So they died. So the news is neither good news or bad news in one sense. Because whatever it is, it's all dukkha, it's all misery. You're very happy if India win a cricket game, then next game they lose. And anyway, what the hell difference does it make to anyone whether someone throws a ball better than someone else? It's all nonsense. People are, even our so-called devotees, they're sitting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, doing chanting their rounds, watching the cricket game. Nonsense. It means they're attached to this body. So the really good news we should give, you are not this body. People think this is a very unusual headline. What is the meaning of this? Some religious propaganda, they will say. It's not religious propaganda. It's a science. Science means a fact. Just like you'll find in that science of self-realization. Mike Robinson was asking Prabhupada, what is the belief of the Hare Krishna movement? What is your religion? Prabhupada said, it's not a belief, it's a science. Why was Prabhupada saying science? Because everyone in the world is so much interested in science, some kind of trick to catch them. Well, you might say that. But actually it is a science. The point is, it's not simply a belief. It's not that the Hare Krishna movement believes this. And we believe that when you die, you leave this body and you go to another body. It's not a question of belief. Whether we believe or not believe, it doesn't matter. I may believe one thing today and believe something else tomorrow. Today I believe that Mick Jagger is God. And tomorrow I believe that this Maradona is God. You believe so many things. But what is the actual fact? We should understand what is the fact. We never find in the Vedic literatures that it said you can believe whatever you like. You have to, rather it's teaching the truth. What is that truth? The first point is that we are not this body, we are eternal spirit soul. And that is also presented scientifically by Lord Krishna. He didn't say to Arjuna, he did actually, that because I'm God, you should listen. But he, alright, I'm God, but let me convince you, because you have your own independence, so you have your own intelligence, so try to understand with your intelligence. You see how the body is changing from boyhood to youth to old age, but the person is the same. Very good example. That if a mother sees her son after 20 years, the body will have changed. But she will recognize, this is my son. Even though the body and the son will recognize, this is my mother. Even though the body has changed. So how can you say it's my son? Because all the chemicals have changed. And the chemicals that were in the body 20 years ago are not the same as the chemicals in the body now. So what is the son? That is the person. That is the soul within the body. That is the person to whom we're giving affection, but we're identifying with the body. That is the mistake. So this is a science. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Srimad Bhagavatam states, this is a science. It is something to be understood scientifically with our intelligence, not simply believe in Jesus or you will burn in hell forever. And then it's like a threat. Why? Because it says in the Bible. Well, that's alright, but it says in the Quran that if you don't believe in Allah, if you don't follow the Islamic system, then you burn in hell forever. So, you say, Muslim, the mullah, he tells me, if you don't believe in this, you'll burn in hell forever. And then the priest comes and says, no, you have to believe in this, otherwise you'll burn in hell forever. So, you know, what do I do? I mean, there's no intelligent way to understand. I just have to hope. I have to follow one of them. And hope that I'm following the right thing, because there's no intelligent way to understand. Simply, you have to believe, that's all. So we don't say that. We present books. We're not just giving one book and we say, believe or you go to hell. We're presenting so many books and we say, believe or you go to hell. But why? Why should you believe? You study scientifically. What is it? You see this example. The tree is giving fruits. The fruits, they develop, they grow, and they fall from the tree. And they rot away. So the tree is this fixed principle. And the byproducts of the tree, fruits, flowers, leaves, they're coming and going. So this is an example from the material world, because ultimately the tree also falls down and dies, or is cut. But it's an example that the soul is steady, the soul is fixed, but the body, janma adya, it has a beginning. That is, the important principle is the soul. The soul is apparently related with the body. Actually, there's no real relation, but because we identify with the body, therefore the soul appears to have a relationship with the body. The body is changing, but the soul is not changing. There's so many examples. A good example also given in Gita. Again and again in Gita, Lord Krishna is giving examples, especially in the second chapter. But throughout the Gita, he's giving examples. How the body is just like the clothes which cover. The clothes which cover the body are compared to the body which covers the soul. Vasansi jirnani yathavihaya navani grihnati naroparani. Tata shirirani anyani navati. Then what's the last line? Tata shirirani. Then I can't remember the last line. Anyway, it means that just as we change clothes when they get worn out, because they're no longer useful. So in the same way, we change bodies when that gets worn out. As the cloth is a covering for the body, so the body is a covering for the soul. So this is a very important point to understand. We should preach this. You are not this body. If we don't understand this, even if we're preaching Krishna Bhakti, actually here in India, especially in Gujarat, there is a feeling for Krishna Bhakti. So people will take it up. They can take up Krishna Bhakti very easily with a little pushing in the right direction. But we should also preach this point, you are not this body. Otherwise, unless people have this proper understanding, if they're only on the sentimental platform, they won't be able to advance properly in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you're giving books. Let people read these books. You have to speak it also. Otherwise, they'll love Krishna, but they'll also chant their rounds while they're watching the cricket game. Because they're attached to this body. They're thinking, I am Indian. I'm Gujarati. I am this body. Not proper understanding. So this philosophy should be understood by our devotees and preached alongside with the chanting. Actually, this Bhagavad Gita, people understand. Yesterday I was reading, as I've done many times, Srila Prabhupada's introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's so wonderful how logically and scientifically Prabhupada presents. If anyone who reads this, applying their intelligence, they cannot fail to be impressed. Prabhupada presents why you should read Bhagavad Gita and why you should read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And what does Bhagavad Gita teach? So wonderfully he presents. Why should you read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because there is no other edition which is worth reading. Why? At least in the Western countries, he was saying. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita has to be understood in a particular way. It was spoken with a particular purpose. It's not that Bhagavad Gita was just spoken because, okay, it's about 3/4 an hour till the fighting, what should we do? Let's talk some philosophy. Let's have some fun. Let's talk. And then afterwards, Vyasadeva wrote it down and everyone, they have fun afterwards. Well, Krishna said this, but he means something else. And no, there was a specific purpose. Therefore, we have to understand how Bhagavad Gita is spoken and how to understand it. We have to understand in the manner that the speaker of Bhagavad Gita meant it to be understood. Just like if I say, bring me a glass of milk, and instead you bring a glass of water, and you say, well, actually I think in your condition, because you're not very well, you should drink water. No, I said, when I said milk, I meant milk. So you should bring milk, not water. So you have to understand what the speaker, especially when we're dealing with a person, Krishna, the Supreme Person, if we're to accept Krishna as an authority at all, then we have to accept Bhagavad Gita in the way that he meant to speak it, what he meant to say. Krishna's not blabbering some nonsense. What he's saying is very valuable. So we have to understand Gita in the way that Gita is given and see how did Arjuna receive it. Just like medicine. You go to a doctor, he's giving specific medicine as you require it. You don't just walk in and say, well, give me any medicine. Or, that medicine looks nice, let me try some of that. No, you have this disease, you have to take this medicine in this manner. Then you'll be benefited. So like this, Prabhupada very scientifically delineates. How is it to be received? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyam vivasvahananave praha manurikshvakave bravit imam parampara praptam imam rajashriyovidu. This Gita is given in the parampara system. It has to be understood in the parampara system. Therefore, it has to be understood from a devotee. Because throughout the Gita, Krishna is speaking of devotion. And again, Prabhupada quotes, this can be understood through devotion. Bhakti amava vijanati. Therefore, we have to understand Gita from a devotee in the parampara. So very scientifically, logically, point by point, you cannot argue with this, how Gita is to be received. And then what is to be understood? To be understood that we are not this body, we're eternal soul. Krishna is also eternal soul, but he is the supreme soul. He is Jiva, we are Jiva, but he is the supreme Jiva. We are also Ishvara. I may be superficially the controller of my family, or someone may be the controller of his disciples, or someone may be the controller of his factory, but the supreme Ishvara, Tamishvara Anam Paramam Maheshvara, who is the controller of all other controllers, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that is Krishna. So these points are to be understood. They're presented very scientifically, very nicely, so that anyone who reads Prabhupada's books very carefully and thoroughly, they can preach this in such a way, anyone studies, and he preaches, he can go, and any point anyone brings through studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he can present. This is the fault. This is the fault in your philosophy. Now you take the right point. Just like I think I told you before. Yeah, I told you this. So one devotee, he was preaching in South India. So he's finding it very difficult because so many people, they would say, no, no, you should worship this demigod, not Krishna. Everything is all one. Everything is all the same. So he wrote to Prabhupada, how can I preach this, people? Prabhupada said, you learn 25 or maximum 50 shlokas from Bhagavad Gita and learn what they mean. Read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And you can defeat any philosophy. Just like if anyone says, you should worship all the different demigods, as they say. Then you ask them, do you believe in Bhagavad Gita? And they'll say yes. Then you quote one verse or half a verse. Antavattu palam te sham tad bhavat yalpamedasam. The fruits which are accrued from worshipping demigods are limited and temporary. Therefore, those who worship demigods are foolish. So that's demigod worship finished. Half a shloka. No more discussion. You believe Bhagavad Gita? According to Bhagavad Gita, if you believe in demigod worship, you are a fool. It's not me that says, it's Krishna that says. So in this way, we understand. So these books are for reading, distributing, understanding, very relishable to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Read this again and again and again throughout your life. We should read Srimad Bhagavatam with the purports. Srila Prabhupada's purports, they are the essence of all the Acharya's purports. Prabhupada studied all the different Acharya's commentaries, then he took what is the most important, relevant points for people in the modern age and put it in simple, clear English. Prabhupada was empowered. How he could, just like you read, if you read the first 2-3 pages of that introduction to Gita, how Prabhupada put so much philosophy that people, they're amazed when they hear. Sometimes you meet scholars in India, big scholars of Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Acharyas of different sampradayas. Then some devotee comes, he's been in our movement 1 year or 2 years, and he speaks something, and they're astonished. How can you understand such high philosophy? And you never went to Gurukul, you never studied Sanskrit. What is the devotee saying? That we should understand we are not these bodies, we are eternal spirit souls. Krishna is the supreme soul, we are all his servant, therefore we should serve him through the process of bhakti yoga. And the big, big scholar will be listening, he'll be amazed. Oh, how have you understood such high truths? Because normally people, they can't understand. They study so much Sanskrit and they get confused. Prabhupada just gave it to us so simply, so directly, that even those who are neophyte students in our Krishna conscious movement, if they're little studied and they have faith in Krishna, then they can speak with any big, big scholar. And they'll be surprised how you've understood such things. Which normally, after many, many lifetimes, you may understand. Bahunam jananam ante jnanavanam prabhavite. Those who are in knowledge accrued over many, many lifetimes, they can come to this point, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulama. And our devotees, wearing blue jeans, smoking a cigarette, playing some rock music, then they get one book. What is this? Bhagavad Gita. This looks very good. Well, I'm not this body. Krishna's the Supreme Lord. Well, I better stop smoking cigarettes. I have to chant Hare Krishna, otherwise I get reborn again. All right, I'm going to the Hare Krishna temple. Please shave my head. What's this thing on your nose? Teach me how to put it on. What's this Japa Mala? Teach me. All right, then, within a few seconds, you make more advancement than the yogis do in millions of lifetimes of difficult austerities. Even after many lifetimes, they can't understand this point. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo bayoratapi manaso muni pungabhanam sobhyasti yadvagvata simya vinchintya tatve govindavadi purusham tamahamajam. That which you are so much attached to, that which you are working so hard for, just consider. It's not going to last. For what are you working? The young ladies are very interested in how to decorate their body. They spend so much time in front of the mirror, combing their hair and putting lipstick and so many different things. But in a few years, now you're putting all these things, and all the young men, or the older men too, they'll look, oh, what is this? But in 20 years' time, they won't look twice at you, even if they're paid. Because that beautiful body, young body, is now just a wrinkled up old bag. Before it was an apparently attractive bag, but now it's a wrinkled up bag. No one's interested. So why be interested in that which is temporary? If you want a beautiful body, you can get a beautiful body. That is in the spiritual world. You can have a body which is eternally young, and you don't have to go to the beauty parlor. In Golok Vrindavan, there's no beauty parlor. There's no beauty therapeuticians. You don't have to put mud on your face and then take it off. And then you're supposed to feel beautiful by putting mud on your face and pay 2,000 rupees to have mud on your face. You're always beautiful with Krishna. And even in this life, you'll be beautiful. You don't need lipstick makeup. You just chant Hare Krishna, you'll become beautiful. You'll become very attractive. Even the bodily features, they may not look very beautiful, but the devotees, they look very beautiful. They get luster. They become very nice. Otherwise, those who are materially attached, even if their body is apparently beautiful, they don't look attractive. The so-called beautiful people, in California, they talk about the beautiful people, because in California, you'll find, due to what's supposed to be good karma, you find so many people with beautiful bodies, but they don't look beautiful. They look lusty. They look, if you see the eyes, they look depressed, disappointed, confused. They're not happy. But a devotee is always happy. Therefore he's beautiful. There's luster is them. Because they're happily engaged in Krishna's service. So, even from this point of view, if you want to be beautiful, if you attach the body, how you can become more beautiful? How you can add something to your good looks which no one else can get? And it's free. All you have to do is understand you're not this body and chant Hare Krishna, and you'll automatically become very good looking. We can tell people. The young ladies, especially now young men, they're very interested how to look beautiful. We can have secrets, ancient Vedic secrets of beauty, how to be beautiful. We'll tell them. Don't tell everybody. Anyone? All right, here's what you do. You simply give up attachment to this body, which is a bag of bones and stool, and you're decorating with lipstick. And the lipstick's also made from dead bodies. They're rubbing, this is made from animal fat. So to make their body beautiful, they're rubbing some cow's fat on their lips. And by this they become very beautiful. First of all, you have to understand that your so-called beautiful body is simply a bag of gas, stool, pus, and urine, and other various nice things. So if you want it to be beautiful, give up attachment to this body and chant Hare Krishna. And you'll be very beautiful. And it doesn't cost any money. Only you have to take this Bhagavad Gita. For 90 rupees, you have a lifelong course. Do it yourself. Be beautiful. Home beauty therapy. All you have to do is get up early in the morning, take bath, chant Hare Krishna. And you'll be beautiful. Hare Krishna. Any question? We can give a title to this lecture, How to Be Beautiful. Just you can put it on. Why don't you stop it when the question is wrong? And then repeat the question. From someone and put in someone else's body, the kidney will still work. It's a different part of a machine, that's all. That I thought you were going to ask that question, like that if you have some worms, you cut, and then it becomes two worms. Or you cut a tree, some trees you take the branch and you put in the ground, and it becomes... Prabhupada said that another soul enters at that point. Another thing he said was that there are many souls within the body. So one of the souls in the cut part becomes the main soul of that body. Many souls in the body means there are so many cells in this body.
Cells also have souls?
It's a living being.
When the soul transmigrates from childhood to youth to old age,
it's not really transmigration really means when it goes to another body. The soul is not changing, the body is changing.
And the soul itself has satchidananda, have full knowledge. So when from childhood, you can see they don't have intelligence.
Mm.
And they become youth and they teach, lessons. So, is that covering?
Yeah, the soul is Satchidanandamayi. It is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. But that eternity, bliss and knowledge is now covered over. Now he's in the material atmosphere. So he's not expressing his spiritual existence. When we say the child grows up and becomes more intelligent, but it's just like it's another material change, just like the body of a child is small and weak, and the physical, gross body, when he grows up, becomes bigger and stronger. So in the same way, the child's brain is less developed. When he grows up, it becomes stronger. When he gets older again, it becomes weaker. The body becomes weaker. So these are different changes of the body. They're not changes of the soul. Something to do with soul means that changes only continue to go on when the soul is present. But it's not the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is not to change. This was very nicely described in that January-February edition of Bhakti Godhead, the lecture given by Prabhupada. Svapna Drashta Ivanjasa. The lecture is on one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, where he describes... It's just like the seer in a dream. In a dream you see so many things, and then you wake up, you realize, I have nothing to do with that. During the dream you identify with it. You think, I'm being chased by a tiger, or I'm enjoying, I'm a king and someone is serving me sweets. So you think like that, you identify fully with it, but actually you have nothing to do with it, and it has no, intrinsically there's nothing real about it. So in the same way, we identify with this body. But it's just like in a dream, it has no intrinsic reality. Only because we think, only because we identify it, it has any reality. Otherwise, it has no reality. It's just like the dream at night, that goes on for a short time. And the dream in the day goes on. The dream that I am this body, that goes on for a longer time. Therefore, we accept that I am this body as a fact, because it appears to be permanent, whereas the dream at night appears to be something which comes and goes. But actually the body also comes and goes, so it's also not permanent. It's no more real than a dream. It has nothing to do with our real existence, just like the dream has nothing to do with our real existence. So this body has nothing to do with our real existence. These are very important points we should try to understand. Srimad Bhagavatam, that section, very interesting. Again, this is discussed in fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Now, the same point, in a dream, you may see your own head being cut off. You're watching. But then you understand, there's nothing to do with me, because I am seeing in a dream my own head being cut off. It's not me. So one who sees like this, he sees the body is there, but he sees with the eye of knowledge that I'm not this body. Even though the body is growing old, it's getting diseased, I'm not this body. Hare Krishna.